Struggling to move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm sitting here today with Colleen Loy. Colleen, how are you today?
I am fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic as always. Every day I get to wake up as a whole new experience. Thankful for the time I have here, ready to charge the day. And we've got a treat for you people because we are looking at nonprofit and a few other things from a really different perspective because Colleen has been in the music industry for the better part of a couple of decades now, and she would be the one you're contacting to get help with what it is that you're trying to do and convey as a charity. So, Colleen, why don't you give us a little bit of your background, what you do, what you enjoy, and all those fun things.
Well, we might be able to add another decade to that music thing, but who's telling stories here? I'm a singer-songwriter, international recording artist, and I was one of the original members of City Kid, known as Tesla. I've been singing professionally since I was 14 years old. I've toured all over the world. I've played with amazing people, like worked with B.B. King. I played with Mick Fleetwood, George Jones. I've covered basically country, rock, alternative, R&B, and that is my passion. But I have many other passions, and I'm kind of like maybe three or four people in one, rolling out the corporate life, and then there's the entertainer life, and then I got into hypnotherapy, trying to help veterans with PTSD and anxiety. I'm a mother of an Army veteran that has PTSD, and of course, I've always had a very large mouth for our veterans and our active military. Quit my job at one point to after I couldn't have an extra leave of absence to welcome my son back from war, so I quit and toured. Literally from Vicenza, Italy, all the way to Austria, to London, to Ireland, with a backpack and a guitar that folds in half, my Voyage Air guitar. What is it called when they endorse you? I guess it's an endorsement. And I did that for about 3 months. And then I went back to corporate world where I'm a paralegal. I just literally find myself being, people gravitate towards me for different things because I'm a magnet for people that are in need. And I use my music as a way to heal them and or get involved in their charity of choice by donating my time and diving in without looking. How's that? Is that a good start?
It's not a bad start. I tell you what, you know, from the nonprofit side, we're always interested in to see, you know, who we can connect with and collaborate with to create the right experience and, you know, maybe generate a little bit of money for the nonprofit world. You have a specific heart for veterans, which I very much appreciate, being an active duty Navy man myself. But that's really cool. Like, how do you determine, like, is there some kind of process that you go through if, you know, you get contacted by a charity to figure out if you are going to work with them or not? What does that look like from your side?
Well, it looks like I have to logically look at my calendar to see if I'm anywhere near their location where they want me to be because of all the obligations that I have. But I also use my intuition and basically see whether or not what they're saying they need from me resonates. Like if I believe in the charity, if I feel that the money's going to go to where they say it's going to go, and I do my research. So I usually will say, let me look at my calendar. Then I'll look at my calendar. Then I'll start, like, my paralegal brain goes, okay, what are the reviews? Does somebody have anything nice to say about them? Because I don't want to put my name attached to just any charity, although I am a very big sucker for a good cause. So it's really kind of like an arm wrestle. Like, do you believe what they're saying? Yes, no, because there's a lot of people that try to take advantage of other people, and I am like not going to have that. So basically, it's heart spaced. If it feels good in the heart and I'm available and I can get time off of my day job, I'm there.
That's so wonderful. You know, I got to interview Steve Sims not too long ago. And when the pandemic hit, there was kind of this interesting thing. Like, he would get invited to speak, and this was happening all over the U.S. He didn't know, and what a lot of them didn't know, is they were getting invited to speak at like digital conferences but like people were kind of pulling the wool over their eyes. Like they weren't telling them that it was a conference that they were speaking at. They thought it was like a podcast interview like this. And so now like a lot of people in the industry kind of like had to take a step back and like, what is it that I'm getting into? What am I really saying yes to? Are these people being honest and upfront with me? It's kind of a shame that we have to feel that way, but not everyone has really like the best intentions all the time, which is really unfortunate. There's a lot of good charities and nonprofits in the US that do amazing work. And there's a couple that really just kind of ruin it for the rest of us and put a stigma out there and this and that. But you said that you have a son who served in the Army. Is that correct?
That is correct. And unfortunately, he came back with PTSD and has kind of been clinging to the planet. So we're trying to find him therapy options. And he's doing better now. He's hooked up with an organization out of Florida. But I mean, it's been a long battle. And one of the things that I'm trying to get interested or get some rallying behind me is basically veterans without their benefits and also mandatory when they get out of the service, trying to have them go through some process to decompress, especially if you're a special forces or something like that nature. They can't just throw you out into society and say, go function. You know, we've trained you as a killer. Now go just assemble with the regular people and behave yourself and not flight or fight mode. I mean, there's really no transition. So that's one of the things I'm working on. And I'm very passionate about trying to help people that have been kicked to the side. I think that kind of goes with a charitable thing, is try to make sure that the veterans have a house, a job, a purpose, a home, you know, and they know how to do their day-to-day living. I mean, they know how to throw a rifle over their shoulder and shoot, but they don't know how to balance a checkbook or pay their bills.
Well, that's really cool. I love what you're doing and your big heart for veterans. Obviously, that's very close and near to my heart. But like, do you have specific organizations that you worked with in the past or that you might recommend someone look into if they're going through the process of transitioning?
I have a very specific interest in the American Heart Association because my brother, he passed and his heart was twice the size of a normal heart. We did runs and things in Maui for raising money for them with Mick Fleetwood and who's the guy from Aerosmith? Steven Tyler. My father did organized events for that. But also, I like anything related to cancer because there are many family members and friends that have cancer, and I don't care what kind of cancer it is. Cancer needs to go. So anybody that comes to me to try to eradicate cancer, I'm already there. I'm just, yeah, if I can help, just let me know. Those are some of the main things that I'm interested in. I'm sure there's a million others. We do what we call Concerts of Light, which tie back to the veterans again, but it can also be for any local charity that someone comes up with, and a group of musicians goes to like maybe a major theater that we rent out, and then the ticket sales go to that specific charity for whatever the particular event is. But mainly it's been for veterans. And but we could talk about some of those things if they present themselves in the right light.
In the right light. That's very important. You've got to be in alignment with the things that you want to showcase and talk about. What's probably the coolest event that you've been a part of that's had a nonprofit or a charity be a beneficiary of?
That has to be what I'm speaking of mainly was the Concert of Lights, because we did them in different cities all over before COVID, and the last one was at the Beacon Theater in Virginia. And we took several veterans that didn't know that they were going to be recipients of things that we had, like money for them, and that we invited them to the show, and they had no clue. They were sitting out in the audience, and then we called them up and presented them with a plaque, and some ladies did a nice Afghan for them, you know, nicely crafted, and money. You know, some of them needed help to pay their rent. There were certain things. And I mean, there was not a dry eye in the audience. People were crying their eyes out. And the town, they come together because they get wonderful entertainment from musicians that have toured literally all over the world, called the Last Honky Tonk Music Series, which I'm a part of. And they're incredible people. And they all have what we like to say, we like to shine our light out on the universe, not just the planet, but everywhere, because this planet and this universe, there's a lot of dark energy out there and we need to get it out of there. That's one of them, the Concert of Light. It's one of my faves.
It sounds absolutely wonderful. I've been a part of a lot of concerts when I was in the Shine Foundation. We set up events with Wanda Jackson, Merle Haggard, BJ Thomas, Kris Kristofferson, Judy Miller. We had, you can't see it on my camera, but I've got a picture with Kris Kristofferson right on my wall up here. Just a great time, big hearts for charities, and did some amazing things. Wanda Jackson, for you all that don't know, was the queen of rockabilly, which was the iteration right before rock and roll got its start. And she's actually my neighbor. She lives in the next neighborhood over here in Oklahoma City, which is just wild.
It's so ironic that you bring her up, because first of all, I did not know who she was, and shame on me. But yesterday morning, somebody on Facebook who's one of my fans and friends, he tagged me and said, I love this woman. And it was Wanda Jackson. I was like, oh my goodness, she is such a bad beep. She's amazing. And I was just like, wow. And I said, thank you so much for introducing me, because even though I've lived in Nashville for the last 21 years, now I'm in Charleston or outside of Charleston, there's a lot of country music things and people that I don't know, because it's, my job is, where do you go to sing? You sing at Grand Old Opry. I would love to sing at Grand Old Opry, but Opryland, Gaylord Resort. There's so many talented people that I should have known about, but I wasn't raised knowing country music. I basically was raised loving rock and roll. And I was a rock and roll singer from the time I could put my shoes on until this very day, which we won't talk about the age, even though I don't care anymore.
As I'm almost 40 and you almost look younger than me. So,
well, I assure you I'm not, but thank you. Four grandchildren, I think. Yeah.
So you got into different kind of healing modalities and different kind of therapies. Was that because of what happened to your son?
It is, absolutely. But it was an interest before he came back with that. I was just kind of dabbling with things, and I've always liked the energy healing. So I started studying Reiki, which is basically the transfer of energy. And they're starting to actually use that in hospitals and mainstream healing. They're not thinking it's woo-woo anymore. It's like, okay, we can talk about it. And for the longest time, I've hid my gifts, because there's the call. Actually, there's three. There's the corporate calling, the regular human being calling, and then there's the entertainer. And so now I don't care anymore, because I'm the age that I am. I no longer care what anyone thinks of me. They either like me or they don't. I love all people, and I'm not hiding. So I've just decided, all right, I'm going to put everything out there. I do Reiki. I do the RTT, Rapid Transformational Therapy, which is a hybrid hypnotherapy with veterans, PTSD, anxiety. You can stop smoking, weight loss. It doesn't matter. And obviously my heart space is for the veterans and military first responders, but people that have been suicidal that are just regular everyday lay people that I meet when I'm out singing come up to me, and I find myself like this, like I said, a giant magnet. And they just hear a song that I've written and they start crying. And then they say, I was going to kill myself. And then they tell me how they're depressed and this and that. I'm like, well, let me help you. And it's like my shows become a roving, kind of like a little caravan of healing. Like they just find me. I don't know how it is, but they find me. And I guess that's a gift. And I thankfully can protect my energy where I don't feel like I've been hit by a train after meeting the people that I help. Mm-hmm. It's just gratifying to know that, you know, you've kept somebody on the planet by just a song or of some words that I was able to write when I was feeling something that I've actually lived through. Because everything I've written, I've lived, literally. I've lived it, seen it, felt it. And I mean, I'm like an open book. You just, anything you want to know, listen to a song, it'll tell you.
Oh, that's so wonderful you're able to do that. I have not the same thing, but anywhere I go, people come up and talk to me. It doesn't matter if I'm sitting at a restaurant with my wife. It doesn't matter if I'm in the grocery store. People, for some reason, I haven't figured out why, they want to talk to me. We're out having dinner or lunch last weekend with a couple that she knows, and I got to meet for the first time. And someone that I've never seen before, never heard before, comes and walks right over to our table and starts talking to us in the middle of what we're doing. You know, I've had waiters that are not our waiter come over to our table and just spill their guts for 30 minutes and then kind of like shake like they just came out of a trance and they say, I'm sorry, I never do this. And they walk away and I never see them again. But people just walk by and they just dump their stuff on me and I'm okay with it. My wife was like, do you know this person? Like when I was first started having, she's like, do you know any of these people? I was like, I have no idea who they are. And now she's like, oh, I guess we're doing this now. And you're like, she'll get up on her phone and all this stuff. And the couple we were with, they were just confused. Like, why is this happening? Like, do you just know people? I'm like, nope, no idea who that guy was. And they're like, does this happen a lot? I'm like, all the time. And my wife's like, all the time.
Because you're like a heat-seeking missile. They just go, I need to go. And somehow they feel comfortable. Their soul knows to go dump on yours.
Yep. And I've learned to just to take it and then not, like you said, protect your own energy. And so it doesn't weigh on you as they walk away. But I'm happy to do that for people. And it's so interesting to be someone else that has this happen to them.
Yeah. Sometimes it can be overwhelming, I imagine, especially at a nice dinner.
It can be. Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting how many different things you've been a part of and the different things that you looked at. So many times people get focused on, and not, you know, right or wrong or indifferent, they get focused on one area and one thing that they've got to do. But you've kind of, you know, branched out and said, you know what, I'm going to try this. I want to see what this looks like. I want to do this during the day. I want to do this at night. And it's one of the beautiful things about being a human is you can do stuff every day of your life. And the next day you're like, you know what? I'm going to do something different. What kind of words of encouragement would you have to someone out there that's looking to do something different and get into maybe a different business or a different way of life? What would you say to encourage them?
I would say that if you wake up every day and you dread going to your job, that you need to immediately seek another job that brings you joy. I think that you need to follow your passion and truly find out what it is that you want to do. And everybody has gifts. I am absolutely certain that every human being on the planet has gifts that they want to share. And so if you can find a gift that you have, and even if you don't have a gift that you think that you're aware of, it'll find you later once you're living an authentic you and not just going to the grind of a Monday through Friday job that you absolutely loathe. I say just step out of your comfort zone and find your passion. If you have some gift that you want to be able to do underwater basket weaving and you think you can sell them, take a leap of faith. Because if you don't and you always say, I'm going to do it this day, I'm going to do it this day, I'm going to do it this day, you may not have that day. And then you'll either be dead or you'll have regrets when you're older in a rocking chair. And I'm not too far from the rocking chair, except for this grandma was going to be rocking with a guitar, not in a rocker. So,
and like George Jones, right? I don't need no rocking chair. There you go.
He is actually one of my neighbors. He's like 5 miles down the road, George Jones, and used to ride his little lawnmower down to the Triune Market. That's when his license was taken away.
Yeah, I won't tell anybody.
Everybody knows, truly. They know because his Lexus was in the high school parking lot where my daughter and son went to school, Page High, to show kids not to drink and drive. Yeah. So, yeah, everyone knows.
it sounds like they made a good example. And
yeah, God bless him. Yeah, he was a funny guy. I hit him with a wand to get him on stage. He was not where he was supposed to be. And I went, bing, get back up there. Did not, but yes, I did.
You know, we're starting to see this with YouTube and everyone having a camera on their phone, and some of it's a little annoying, but like you get to see like kind of the behind the scenes of what, you know, musicians or celebrities or actors, and like you get to see them behind the scenes. I've got a friend, JC Carbonell. He's got his, you know, pro golfing license or whatever that thing looks like. He got injured by a car in a car wreck. So he hasn't been on the National Golfing Association, but he's written a story. It talks about all the behind the scenes that happens on the golf course that, you know, just doesn't make it onto like the Golf Channel or the PGA, all these, you know, pulling pranks on each other, odd situations, and just these off the wall things that happen in people's lives. Because they're a professional golfer, they're in the military, or they're a podcaster, doesn't mean all these crazy things don't happen to them behind the scenes. You guys get my polished finished product, but there's a lot of, like, when this video goes live, when this episode goes out there, look at the actual video on YouTube, because I don't edit those. So that part where I told them to edit that out, like, that'll be on the video, because you get the raw, uncut experience, which I think is just, which I just think is funny. But you don't hear those stories too often. So in all your time out touring and doing different things, has there been like a prankster or jokester that you've run into that's another musician out on the road?
There's a couple that, with the last Honky Tonk Music series, we have some guys that backstage, they were running around like Daryl Wayne Dasher and Ty Cloppen, and they, like, one of them was holding the other guy's leg and, like, literally trying to play it as a guitar and dressing up like fools. I mean, we just kind of just act, you blow off steam because you have to get into that persona before you go out on stage, and we just yuck it up. I mean, in my heyday, we did stupid things, and I don't want to mention them because they're not worth mentioning and they're illegal. But I don't do any of that. My father was a narcotics cop, and everything I ever did, I was caught. I always got in trouble for. So, I mean, don't do drugs, anyone. It's stupid. It's a waste of time, and you'll get arrested or die, especially now. But I don't really have any main pranks. I just know that we act like the fools that we are, you know, backstage before we go on stage. And then you kind of just blow off steam so that you can actually turn into that performer. And I liken it to being turned inside out before I go on. People usually know, stay away from calling. It's not like I mean, I'm just very silent. And when I'm silent, I'm just thinking, okay, now I need to turn into this, which it's like a little butterfly, so that you don't want to throw up once you're standing stage to do your thing. Now I don't care. I mean, it's like the millions of people would make me happy as a pig in a pear orchard. Put them on there. Put them out in the audience. Let them come.
You know, when that adrenaline hits, the story that we tell ourselves really kind of depends on if it's going to turn into anxiety or if it's going to be energizing before you go up on stage. And I imagine there's been days where that adrenaline hits and you're like, nope, not going to do it. And you've told yourself some story in the back of your head, like, so many people out there, I'm not prepared, I'm not at my best today, I'm not feeling. And that story you tell us really kind of has an impact on your stage presence for that showing. Is that how you see it?
I can honestly tell you, I don't recall ever being apprehensive about getting on a stage. I am at home on a piece of concrete, on a high-rise stage. I don't care what it is. It's like I plug into a different level. And everything that I do, whether it's for a little concert or a dive bar, which I do those quite often, I don't care. I am excited every time. And I sing like there's millions of people. I give everything I have every single night. And I'm not afraid to do it. So I don't know if there's something wrong with me. There might be something wrong with me, because I'm like, thank you. I get this gift. I was given many gifts. And the fact that I know that somebody out in that audience, no matter who they are, needs to hear what I have to say or play or just my jokes, because I joke around in between my sets. My mom used to say, well, if you can't make it as a musician or, you know, a singer, then you can be a comedian. That's too much to be a comedian on demand. But as an entertainer, I am. I'm a comedian and an entertainer just without even thinking. I just roll the stuff out of my mouth, and half the things, I don't know what I'm saying, but it's always a clean show. I'm a good girl.
That's your superpower. That's not you being weird. It's your superpower. I have the ability to go talk to anyone, anytime, any place, on anything. And for a long time, I thought it was kind of weird, but it's my superpower. I can go in and talk to anyone, make people feel relaxed. And before you know it, they're telling me their whole life story and all a bunch of things that they have no business telling me, but they just want to tell me everything. They're like, I don't know why I just told you that. I don't tell people that very often. I was like, don't worry, it was supposed to be that way. It's okay.
It's the superpowers that you talk about, there's a lot of people that don't like to speak in public. And the hypnotherapy and the transformational therapy that I do, that's part of it, is like, can you help me speak in public? So it's good that you have that. And many people don't. They have absolute fear of speaking to three people, let alone, you know, a podcast or a stage. I mean, they would rather just lay down and die than do that. And we've had to do scripts that they listen to for 21 days to say, okay, you're eloquent, you're fluid, you're calm. And you do. You have a very calm demeanor. So I can see why people just come up to you. You're an empath. People feel it and they're like, I'm going to dump on him. they don't even know what they're doing, but they're doing it. Their souls are
in a complete trance. They have no idea why they're doing it. They don't know who I am. They walk up to me and they unload. You see them walk away and it's like this whole other energy that they have, which is just amazing.
That's a magic gift that you have, because you help them transfer their energy to, you know, from hyper, whatever it was, or sad to, I just lifted it and it's gone. And you can literally probably see it melting off their shoulders. That's a gift.
Someone told me I need to charge for that. I was like, how do you charge for that? I have no idea what I would charge. I don't know what that looks like as a business.
When you figure it out, will you let me know too?
I will let you know.
I undercharge.
Oh, I imagine you do. Well, this has been a really fun, kind of quick hitting interview from, you know, the artist perspective. We don't really get a whole lot of these. I did an interview with Sarah Locarno, and she was a recipient of services. She was a first responder, and she went through quite an ordeal. That was earlier this year, January or February. I chatted with her. It's nice to see the different points of views and the different perspectives than just talking to industry professionals or talking to people that run their own nonprofit or talk to business owners to actually see what it looks like from a star's point of view. So thank you so much for sharing with us today. What's the best place, the one best place that you want people to go to find you?
Well, then go to my website, colleenlooy.com, which is colleenlooy.com. And then it will take them to my music. If they want to know more about the healing, they could message me. And one day I'll put them all together, but that's the main one, because the music drives everything else. The healing, it all goes together. And I am Colleen Looy, the only one in the world.
Hey, thank you so much, Colleen.
Have a wonderful day, and thank you for having me.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.